All right, welcome, folks, to Brighton Broadcast News for Friday, February 9th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And we're going to start off today, actually, with an interview where myself and Michael Yon were guests. Michael Yon was in my studio today, and I interviewed him separately for an extended bombshell interview that's coming out Monday. But in the meantime, with him in my studio, we were guests with The Duran, which is Alex Christofaru and Alexander Mercuris. And The Duran, you know, is a very popular geopolitical analysis channel that both of those guys are in Europe, and but they cover world events, and they were very curious about what's happening in Texas. And of course, I've been on their show before, and I've interviewed those guys on my show. They're great analysts. They really know what's going on. And so we hooked it up. And so it's four of us that you're about to see. I'm going to play that first here. It's again, myself, Michael Yon, Alex Christofaru. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I apologize if I'm not. And Alexander Mercuris from the UK. So check out this interview. It's about an hour or so. And I'll come back with some other breaking news headlines and some short analysis after that. But check it out. Here's the interview with The Duran.
Okay, we are live with Alexander Mercuris in London. How are you doing, Alexander?
I'm very well and very delighted to be on this program today. It's going to be a great program.
Yes, it will, because we have some very special guests from Texas, I believe. We have the one and only Mike Adams and Michael Yon. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing great. Great to be on your show, both of you.
Very well, sir. It's an honor.
Yeah, we're having a great time here with you.
It's great to have you guys on, and we have a lot to discuss. Let me say a quick hello to everybody that is watching us on theduran.locals.com, Odyssey, Rockfin, Rumble, YouTube. And a quick hello to our moderators, our fantastic moderators, the best in the business. Mike and Michael, I have your information in the description box down below, and I will also add your information as a pinned comment. But very quickly, where can people follow you to find gentlemen?
Well, first of all, this is our Brighteon.com studios, and I'm about to interview Michael separately after this show. He came early to be with you, which is so amazing. This is going to be so much fun. But Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com for me. And then Michael, I'm going to give out your locals or...
I'm on Substack at Michael Yon, and also on X Daily. And then mostly I just spend my time in the jungles and and do a few interviews.
All right. Fantastic. So, Alexander, Texas, the southern border, and we have some news with Ukraine and the funding for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, but without the southern border. So we have a lot of ground to cover. Over to you, Alexander.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may interest people in Texas, but your state is now the most famous state in the union, because all the world is talking about what's going on in Texas. It's seen as absolutely crucial to what is happening in the United States. And of course, what happens in the United States affects the whole world. I mean, it is still that way. People talk about America and losing its way, but the United States remains pivotally important. And Texas is at the moment the most pivotal state in the union. What is happening on the border? What is going on there now? I've been hearing dramatic things. I've been hearing extraordinary things about what has been happening on the border, about numbers of people who've been trying to cross the border, about the attempts by the Texan government, the state government of Texas, to try to control this thing. What has the Biden administration achieved in the time it has been in office, or not achieved? What is the actual state on the border of Texas? Well, if you can just explain that to our viewership, which is global, I should say. I mean, you know, people from all over the world, not just the United States.
Let me give a little preamble
And then I'll turn it over to Michael, because Michael Yon, I think, is the expert who has done more on the ground, first person investigation of what are called the invasion camps in Panama, such as San Vicente, and I think Lajas Blancas is another one of them as well, that are funded through the State Department and through Homeland Security, through Alejandro Mayorkas, is actually funding these camps as staging areas to invade the United States. But let me just say up front first, I have a lot of strong ties with former Texas Rangers and law enforcement in Texas, and they tell me privately that they are not going to allow Biden to continue to use Texas for an invasion beachhead into the United States. We now have, what, 25 additional U.S. states that are backing Governor Abbott's letter to Joe Biden, which said that the federal government has shattered the compact with the states, which means that Governor Abbott is able to invoke a particular section of the United States Constitution that allows the state to defend itself when the federal government has abandoned its duty to protect the states. So we are now seeing, as a preamble to this, we're seeing the opening stages of a breakup, or what could be a potential breakup of the United States of America. It could very soon become half and half, or, you know, roughly half the states might break away. But let me turn over to Michael for the details of what's actually happening in Panama and the Darien Gap and the flood that's coming to this country.
All right. Well, I'm sure a lot of viewers here have no idea who I am. I'm a war correspondent. I spent a lot of time in wars around the world, and now I'm looking at the weaponized migration. And I've done this all over the world, from Japan to Greece to Morocco to Lithuania before that war broke out, warning that something may happen there in that region. I'm always watching the various inputs. So I'm watching energy, trade routes, that sort of thing. You know, I was actually warning about Nord Stream before something happened to it. And in fact, I was over in Germany at BASF twice that year before something happened to Nord Stream, warning about it. And so bottom line is, I watch this a lot more than just the weaponized migration. That's just one of the aspects. It's obviously a kill shot. This is demographic warfare. You can see what's happened to Europe, where I spent more than 6 years, by the way. But now I spent, when Biden was installed, I was at the inauguration, or at least I was in Washington. I was not invited to the inauguration. But then I flew straight to El Paso, Texas. And so I was there within 24 hours thinking that, they're going to start to surge across the border. And they did, right? And then from there, I flew to Colombia because I thought Colombia would end up, the Darien Gap corridor would probably start to really widen. Now, the Darien Gap, there's a highway called the Pan-American Highway that goes from Alaska, Prudhoe Bay, all the way down to the tip of South America. But there's one area about 60 miles that has no road. That's called the Gap, the Darien Gap, because it's called, anyway, nobody knows where the Darien name came from, but it goes back centuries. But they call it the Darien Gap. So that's the jungle between Panama and Colombia. So I flew to Colombia watching. Immediately, they started surging through Colombia into the Darien Gap. Then I flew over to the Panama side, and I've spent about 6 months in the Darien Gap since Biden was installed. And now what I've been watching through the Darien Gap is the flows are dramatically increasing. For instance, in the parking lot before we just came on, I was getting the latest intel update from Darien. I mean, the flows are dramatically increasing. Chinese, for instance, in huge amounts of Afghans and whatnot. In fact, I just took Dr. Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson and Ann Vandersteel and Misako Ganaha down there on the last trip, and Dr. Weinstein came back and went on the Tucker Carlson show, and I think it's had about 12 million views so far. So that's worth watching because Brett Weinstein's interview with Tucker Carlson was very accurate. In fact, I'll be going on Tucker in about 2 weeks. But I'm going back to Darien soon. But what I'm getting to is, when you're looking at the Texas flows, Eagle Pass and all that, I've been across the entire U.S. southern border from SpaceX, which is on the Gulf side, to San Diego, which is I've been on the Mexican side. I'm very familiar with this border, right? And what I'm getting to is, no matter what happens in Texas or at Eagle Pass is like a speck of pepper on the size of this table. It's really nothing. But I assure you that the flows are increasing through South America. If you can get your feet in South America, you can get anywhere in the United States within a week or two, right? And so now we have flights coming every day from Turkey, like from Africa to Turkey to Bogota. And then Bogota, many of those flights go straight to the United States. Others go to Guatemala, then to the United States or Mexico. Bottom line is the flows continue to increase. The United States is being straight up invaded. I could go for hours, but I should cut it at that.
I've heard that the figures are 6 million people entered the United States illegally since the Biden President Biden was inaugurated. Is this figure, you know, in ballpark correct? Because it seems staggering. I mean, it is beyond understanding. It is far worse than anything I've ever heard. I mean, we had a migration crisis in Europe in 2015, and that was 1 million people connected with the conflict in Syria. And that sparked a huge political crisis in Europe, including in Germany. But that was 1 million people in a continent of many more people than the United States has. Is it 6 million? Is it as much as that?
Well, Michael, wouldn't you say right now it's anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000 a day?
Well, actually, just through the Darien Gap, it's probably 3,000 to 5,000 a day now.
Just through the gap, right?
Yeah, that's just through the gap. That doesn't include a lot of the people join flows in Guatemala. I was just over in Guatemala looking at it. We have the United States is working on 8 camps in Guatemala. Actually, camp is an aggressive term. They're more like bus stops. And a lot of the people fly directly to Mexico, or they come in on Swift Air flights 24 hours a day. And then we've got this giant border between Canada and the United States, which is nobody seems to know about these. I mean, how big those flows are. We don't know how many are coming in. Is 6 million directionally accurate? I would say it's probably highly conservative. For instance, in Darien Gap, 82,000 came through in one single month last year in August. That was the peak month. But this month, I'm imagining there'll probably be more. I can tell you more in about 6 or 7 days.
I would say 500,000 a quarter is a pretty good ballpark of what would like a couple million a year.
It's hard to say because, you know, we both have a lot of Border Patrol contacts. I'm on the border a lot. Nobody seems to know. And of course, our government is covering it up. But what we can see is on the streets in the United States is we see people everywhere. I mean, the bathtub's getting full. You know, when I was in Hong Kong, I got kicked out in 2020 because I was there watching a similar thing. You know, one of the ways that mainland China slowly took Hong Kong was just by doing the weaponized migration. They just brought in Mandarin-speaking mainland Chinese day by day for years and took over, you know, teaching positions, took over police and political positions, the normal, right? And the same in Tibet. When I was in Tibet, it was the same. I mean, there were some war aspects, obviously, but mostly it's just demographic warfare. Recently, I had dinner with a retired general in Honduras, and he's of Chinese descent, actually. And we talked about this for several hours. And he said, you know, China is not coming. He's been to China 7 times. They invited him because he's of Chinese descent. But he was a retired Honduran general. He said, China is not coming to attack everybody militarily. They're coming to become you, like they did in Hong Kong. They became Hong Kong, right? And as you see in Taiwan, you're very familiar with, I may go back there again soon. But you see this consanguination between, you know, whether it's business or anyway, I should cut it off. I could go for hours.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that we don't understand, this is something that people in Europe, for example, do not understand, is that this is a global migration. This is a global migration into the United States. It is not just people from Latin and South America who are going into the United States. It's people from China. It's people from Afghanistan. You've mentioned all of this. And it's highly organized, and it is partly funded by the United States government. The United States government, mostly funded by the United States government. Now, we've just had a bill in the Senate which was supposed to try to control this process, and there was an incredibly complicated negotiation about it. But there was one thing about it that stood out, if I've got this correct. And perhaps you can explain to me whether or not it is correct. And that is that the bill allowed for 5,000 illegal migrants to enter into the United States each day. And this is supposed to be a compromise? and what government actually passes a bill saying 5,000 illegal migrants are allowed to enter the country a day? Indeed, one illegal migrant. I mean, if they're coming in illegally, why are you allowing them in? I mean, how can you pass a law or agree a system to allow any illegal migrants to enter at all? I mean, surely this is a logical contradiction. Can you explain this to me?
Let me mention one tweet, and I'll turn it over to you, Michael. I think it was Scott Adams that tweeted out. He said, it feels like we are in a war and that our government is not on our side. I think that's the sentiment that is infuriating the American people. They are now realizing that they are being replaced. They're being inundated. There's an invasion, as Michael said. The invasion is accelerating, and our own government is opposed to organized migration, organized immigration, which none of us oppose immigration per se. We want it to be organized. We want it to be based on merit. We want to be able to do background checks on people, know where they're coming from, and demand, hey, you bring some money with you so that you don't have to end up being a burden on the whole system. But Michael, what would you add to that?
A lot.
Yeah, there is a lot.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. The main funder is the United States. We're the one funding our own invasion. So I see people talking constantly about how we should punish Mexico or Panama or Colombia or whatever. It is the United States, bottom line, period, right? For instance, there is a place in Panama where I'll be at again in a few days called the City of Knowledge. The City of Knowledge is the old U.S. Army South headquarters, Fort Clayton, right? Now that is at least 62 NGOs, IGOs, and nonprofits, including IOM. So they've taken over our headquarters. The IOM flag flies where the old U.S. military, old U.S. American flag
Is that
flag.
IOM?
The IOM is the International Organization for Migration. You'll see their tote bags in airports all the time. They're either blue and white or white and blue. It'll say IOM or OIM, depending on the language. So that's part of the UN. They're a multi-billion-dollar racket run by a lady named Amy Pope. She's now the director. She's American. She was installed maybe almost 5 months ago now. And she brags that the United States is the biggest funder of IOM. Now, there's many others, such as Catholic Charities and so many other. One of them that I've been hitting on for the last 2 weeks is HIAS. And actually, I've mentioned it for years, but I really started hitting on it recently because HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, actually, Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas, Alex Mayorkas, used to be a board member on HIAS. That's important. So he was a board. He's a Cuban refugee himself of Jewish parents, and HIAS is obviously a Jewish organization. So it's interesting because HIAS.org thanks, or let's say congratulates Mayorkas for taking over at Department of Homeland Security. Now, on April 18th of 2022, he flew down to Darien, Panama, and four Blackhawks. I was there. I was waiting for him. In fact, he landed right in front of me, and he went into the camp called San Vicente Camp. That camp is about 40 yards away from the HIAS headquarters in Darien. That I'm familiar with that headquarters because I almost rented it myself, and then HIAS got it out from under my feet. I wanted to rent it because it's right next to that camp. But so Secretary Mayorkas came down there and expanded that camp. This is the camp that the Chinese mostly use as they're using. The camp is actually, again, it's an aggressive word. It's more of a bus station now. So the Chinese, as they emerge, and the Syrians and so many others, as they emerge from the Darien Gap, they come in there, they get on a shower, and they go to buses up on Highway 1 to the United States. Now, in October, there were only about 60 buses per day running. Now they've upped it to about 200. So that's when I say that they're, the flows are increasing. I'm saying that based on things like, more than tripling the number of buses, increasing the numbers and sizes of the camps, and also the camps are much more efficient. So whatever's happening in Texas, I can tell you the upstream is definitely increasing.
But the bottom line is the American people realize increasingly that our own government is funding and organizing the invasion of the United States of America. And we are both hearing the word treason. being used a lot more in the analysis and commentary of this. I mean, just like you said, Alexander, what other nation in the world would fund its own invasion and takeover?
Can I just quickly say, funding illegal immigration into its own country.
Yes.
It seems most odd. That's an understatement. I just can't think of a word that would describe how absolutely bizarre this is. It is the government of the United States undermining its own immigration laws.
That's right. That's right. And it's not like they are bringing the world's best. No, they're emptying the prisons in El Salvador, for example, or in Venezuela, and sending us like MS-13 gang members by the busload. And I interviewed one of the security personnel that is on these buses. You know how Governor Abbott of Texas is actually sending some of these migrants to other cities to kind of share the burden and demonstrate what a problem this is. Well, I interviewed one of the security guards who was on those buses, and he speaks Spanish, and he was able to overhear the plans of a lot of these people. And they go to the blue cities to join the criminal networks there to carry out crimes, drug trafficking, weapons trafficking, human trafficking, and also to do looting and theft and carjackings. And then when they get the money there, they will often go to red states to spend that money and not commit crimes because the red states will prosecute them or shoot them. So literally, they know that the blue sanctuary cities in particular are a free-for-all. I mean, I know you saw this, but they beat New York Police Department officers half to death the other day, and those illegals were just let out of jail with no bail. It's infuriating to the NYPD.
How is this all justified? What explanation does the United States government give for this? I mean, they must presumably give some explanation for what they're doing. I mean, they must give some reason for what they're doing.
No, they say the border is secure. I mean, that's Mayorkas. It's all covered. It's all fine.
What about Kamala Harris? Isn't she the border czar? I mean, this is what we've been hearing in Europe. What's become of her? Is she doing anything?
Does she know where the border is?
Yeah, does she know where the United States is?
Yeah, I'm not sure if she would actually know on a map where the United States is. I mean, obviously, these are... I've written three books on information war, by the way. Unfortunately, it's about specifically about Chinese information war. Unfortunately, they're all only in Japanese language because I've been trying to wake up Japan for years. But what I'm getting to is information war is that's the highest form of warfare, obviously. All the kinetics and Navy SEAL movies, and that's almost child's level compared to information war, right? And what I'm getting to is Biden is what's called a dog king. It's an old term that was used, you know, when there was wars between kings and, you know, Norwegian and Swedish. You run off or kill another king and you make an actual dog into a king, right? You give him a crown and a throne and a translator. And then, you know, you tell the people, that's your king. And they're like, well, that's a dog. And you're like, well, it's your king, right? So it demoralizes the people and it also emboldens your enemies, right? That's what Biden is. That's what Trudeau is. These are dog kings. Zelensky, he's a dog king, right? And so this is obviously in service to something much larger. A lot of this is about trade routes and energy and food, you know, like the very idiotic Ukraine war. It's not idiotic if you want to actually cause mass famines eventually. It's actually quite smart if you want to do that. A lot of the things that are going on right now actually they're part of a much larger global plan. For instance, the genocide unfolding now in Gaza. This is all part of a much larger plan, as is the invasion of the United States by the United States, Europe as well.
Right. So we see that the administration is busy undermining the laws of the United States by arranging this mass of illegal immigration. What is Texas doing? What is Texas trying to do? And Texas is only one state, but let's specifically talk about Texas. What is this thing that Texas is trying to do, which the administration in Washington is so unhappy about?
Well, in my opinion, Alexander, Texas is laying the legal groundwork for the possibility of secession. I'm not saying it's going to go there, but if it does, Governor Abbott has already cited sections of the Constitution, such as Article 4, Section 4, that specifically require the federal government to protect the states from invasion. So he and, of course, the AG of Texas, Ken Paxton, who is an extraordinary man, they tried to get rid of him with an impeachment half a year ago or so, but he survived that. And I think he would make a great AG in the Trump administration, by the way, I'm just saying. But Abbott and Paxton are laying the groundwork for the legal justification to do what they need to do, because we've even seen, by the way, the Border Patrol Union and Border Patrol as a federal agency, but the union saying our members will not put back up the barbed wire, or I'm sorry, will not take down the barbed wire and let illegal immigrants come through, that we also will defend our borders. So what's pivotal right now that has never happened in American history that I'm aware of is the fact that we now have one state telling the federal government, we will not abide by your unconstitutional Supreme Court decision and your unconstitutional policies. We will protect our border. And then to have 25 other states stand with Texas, that has never happened before. In years past, everybody would have folded by now, but something has changed. And it's that the American people are fed up. They see the depth of the invasion that's happening, and they are demanding that their lawmakers and their governors, and in some cases their mayors of their cities, do something to protect our borders. And even Democrats are getting on board with this, because the problem is so bad in New York City and Denver, Chicago, and other Democrat-run cities.
Mm. Can you speak a bit about what the internal effect of all this massive immigration is in the United States? I mean, you mentioned the violent crime, the fact that the blue cities are becoming sanctuary cities for criminals. But can you give some descriptions of what it's been doing to Texas itself? And can I just make one point? Because, of course, Texas is one state in the union, so it can protect its border, its external border, but it can't control its internal borders. So if people presumably are able to enter the United States in other places, and that's you right. mentioned Canada, for example, they can still go to Texas, because there's no internal restrictions that I'm aware of within the United States. You can travel from one part of the United States to another, and it's not difficult. That's right. Am I right in this?
You're correct. Michael, I don't know what you would say, but I mean, crime is probably just the biggest factor that's hitting everybody. Crime eventually, through the roof.
I mean, eventually it's clear we'll go into civil war. That's why I returned to the United States in 2020, because I could sense war is what I do. I mean, I had been overseas most of my life, actually. I'm American, born and raised in America, but I've spent most of my life downrange in about 100 other countries, right? So when I saw how things were unfolding after I got kicked out of Hong Kong, I went to Thailand and watched this COVID thing unfold, and then and I could sense the United States is going into civil war. That's why I returned. And I specifically said, I think it was August 2020, I returned to the United States.
And you came to Texas.
I came to Texas. I went straight to Portland first, because I went to out with the Antifa clowns just to get a sense of who they are and that sort of thing. And then I came to Texas, and a lot of people were like, wow, you're going to Texas. It must be safe. And I'm like, people who've known me for many years know that if I show up to your door, that's like death knocking on your door. You know, seriously, when I went to Ukraine, not Ukraine, when I went to Lithuania and whatnot, I went there because I love Texas. I mean, this is my people, really. I mean, I'm from Florida, but I'm Scott-Irish, man. You know, it's like, and so this is my kind of people. It's like Redneckistan, you might say, right? But the bottom line is we are clearly going into civil war.
And Texas can assert control over its own state borders, by the way, in a civil war scenario. And it is prepared to do that. It's not that difficult to lock down the interstates, by the way. It's not that difficult to control the flow of goods in and out of a state. Texas has very dedicated law enforcement, highway patrol, you know, state guard. And also Texas has the most veterans and former law enforcement of any state in the union. Texas has the highest gun ownership. I mean, this is America. I mean, we own more guns per capita than any country in the world. And Texas owns more guns per capita than any state in the union. There's no lack of firearms and ammunition in Texas.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah,
I think I don't want to see Texas split off. I don't want to see California split off. I think we're falling straight into their trap.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to see a secession either.
And Governor Abbott of Texas, he is clearly World Economic Forum, full stop. That's the uniform he wears. He is not on our team. Whatever he does is not to our benefit. You know, busing people deeper into the blue states, you know, to show them, you know, which made a lot of my conservative friends very happy. I'm like, that's a mistake. He's injecting them deeper into our bloodstream while he clears the banks of the Rio Grande to bring more in. Abbott and many of the other governors.
I kind of like the fact that he's sending them to other cities temporarily. I'm like, hey, share the pain a little bit. Show these people.
I mean, there's
you're going to be a border state.
I like that on one emotional level. Yes. But as somebody that doesn't want the United States to be, there's a reason why I go to San Francisco so often, because I think that eventually is where CCP would like to make a sort of a headquarters city in the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look what happened. She came over and he landed in San Francisco, didn't even bother with going to Washington. I mean, it's very clear. Some of this is not that complicated if you just watch it 7 days a week like Rain Man, like I do year after year, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have huge numbers. You already have huge numbers. Millions of illegal people moving, floating around the United States. That is not a sustainable situation. Are there any plans to make them legal? In other words, to give them U.S. citizenship?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, we already have them joining the military, joining police forces. We have people with top secret clearances in NSA and FBI and whatnot that can barely speak English. I mean, it's just over the... We literally have cancer. As a nation at this point, we have cancer, and we are clearly going into civil war. It's about, you know, amateurs always talk about sparks, as you know, right?
Yeah.
But it's about conditions. And right now, I call it the beast. The beast is actually an amalgam of different players. World Economic Forum is actually an amalgam. But as a catch-all, they have obviously cooperate quite closely with the Chinese Communist Party. But go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to add that, the Democrats want to give the illegals a pathway to citizenship because they think that will benefit them politically with the votes. Trump, his plan, as has been explained to me by law enforcement in Texas, is to deport millions of illegals. And in order to find them, they will do traffic enforcement. So they're not going to go door to door kicking in doors. It's not going to be a big civil rights violation. But if you're stopped in a traffic violation, because, by the way, illegals drive like insane people. Because if an illegal is driving a vehicle in Texas and smashes into you, nothing happens to them. They have no driver's license, no insurance, and the police will say, there's nothing we can do because the courts can't handle it. You know, good luck. That's it. Your insurance is going to have to cover it. So they drive like insane maniacs, okay? It's going to be a simple matter for law enforcement to just start pulling over every person driving like that and run their name if they're an illegal. Turn them over to the Trump administration's Border Patrol and then boot them out of the country. That's the plan. So the Trump administration can effectively remove millions of illegals from this country. But then again, an election has to happen and that election has to be fair. So
yeah,
what are the odds?
Talking about elections, I mean, anybody who knows American history, as I once was educated in it, knows that the Democratic Party has a history. It was extremely successful in the past in organizing immigration, voting blocks out of immigrants who came from Europe. I mean, this is something they were doing in the late 19th, early 20th century. They did it very well. Is this the plan again, that, the Democratic Party trying to create electoral blocks out of these people? From these people.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
My understanding was the plan was they were going to try to ram through Congress this year amnesty for tens of millions of illegals and give them voting rights. That plan is dead now, I think, because of this border bill fiasco that just failed. Mm-hmm. But there's buzz that Joe Biden may try to do that via executive order before mm-hmm. Election Day. I think that would fail. I think it would be overturned by the Supreme Court very quickly, but they may try that out of desperation. Nevertheless, what Michael said about demographic warfare is true. In the long run, if you don't stop the illegal open border, you end up getting overrun just demographically. And I do want to say, by the way, I'm married to an immigrant, okay, from Taiwan. And many of my friends and coworkers here in Texas are Hispanics, Latino Americans. And they agree with me on these points. Understand that Black Americans, Latino Americans, Asian Americans all want a secure border. This is not a white thing or a redneck thing. This is an American thing. Everybody in America now wants to control the border. They're not anti-immigration, but they want a controlled system that starts with zero illegals. Let's start there and then decide who we want to let in and why.
Which is, I mean, immigration control has been something that the United States has practiced for much of its history. I mean, it was very strict, to my knowledge, until quite recently. I mean, clearly something has radically changed, and it clearly is connected with the political situation. Can I just ask, going back to the question of the states that you mentioned, the 25 states that are supporting Texas, does that include the other border states on the southern border?
Well, it doesn't include Arizona because of what happened with the rigged election there.
Yeah,
I was there for that election.
Yeah.
Those, in the two polling stations I went to, the machines didn't work. I only went to two, and both of them, they didn't work.
And it doesn't include New Mexico either, because that tends to be controlled by Democrats. It doesn't include California. It does include, of course, Florida. But the point is, what we say here in Texas is that now every state is a border state.
Yeah.
And that's true, because the effects and the cost burden and the law enforcement burden of illegal immigration is affecting every single state in the union. I was talking with law enforcement the other day in a local county, said, our jail is full. We could arrest a lot more illegals, but our jails are completely full, and we can't turn them over to Border Patrol because they won't do anything with them. And this is how the federal policy is forcing the illegals to remain in play as locally functioning criminals carrying out whatever crimes they're engaged in. A lot of it is trafficking. A lot of it is fentanyl, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, all of it. This is a destabilization and demoralization operation against America, which, by the way, you know, Yuri Bezmenov mentioned this, you know, decades ago, as you recall. This was the old Soviet plan of how to destroy America from within. And it's point by point. It's all happening right now under Biden.
So Joe Biden is the president of the United States. Why did he, instead of talking to Governor Abbott, trying to come to an agreement about finding means of controlling the border, why did he go to the Supreme Court and get that order from the Supreme Court? Is it because he wanted to smash Texas?
He's a dog king. Biden's just a dog king. He's not. He's a meat puppet. He's obviously not the president, right? He's just there. He's a blob. I mean, a lot of people constantly are blaming things on Biden or Obama. You know, I went to Obama's school, elementary school, twice in Jakarta, in Indonesia. I was there at a counterterrorism school, actually. And I took a break and I went over to the school. And this place is in the nicest, it's like the Hollywood of Jakarta. Look at it on Google Earth. Look at Obama's. The guy came from, it's nothing but big compounds and swimming pools. You know, he acts like, you know, he was a poor black child, you know. I mean, these people are. They are not the causal agents. They are products of, like Yuri Bezmenov, he would have said it in black and white back in the black and white days. This is clearly point by point. The information war is effective.
But I would add there's also an element of economic sabotage that Biden is committing against Texas. For example, he announced that because of climate concerns, there would be blocking LNG exports, which mostly affects Texas. Okay. Now think about this. I know you guys have covered this extensively. After the United States destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines, which devastated Europeans' economy and Germany in particular, and then thinking about the nation of Qatar even halting some of the LNG exports because of what's happening with the Houthis and the Red Sea, and then on top of that, Biden, as a friend of Europe, then blocks more LNG license exports out of Texas. You know, look, this is my opinion, but Joe Biden and the United States under his, quote, leadership has become the most devastating pro-sabotage enemy of Europe. Not only Texas, but Western Europe as well.
We attack NATO.
America is like the enemy of Europe and Germany at this point.
It looks like, you know, the old strategy of keeping Russia and Germany separate. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was Nord Stream.
Right.
Destroy the energy supply for Germany.
That's why I kept
going to make Europe dependent on America.
Yeah.
And then cut off the LNG exports out of Texas.
Last year, I was in Netherlands in March, you know, for the election there. And I went to Groningen, the gas fields, right? And because, you know, I thought, well, they're going to probably shut this one, too. And they did. I think I came on your show
saying
I just got back from Groningen. I think and now they've shut that. That's the biggest gas field in Europe.
Europe has all the energy it needs. It just refuses to tap into it.
Haber-Bosch, man. This is nitrogenous fertilizer is going to be a problem.
Yep. Anyway, don't get us going. We'll go for hours.
which would be wonderful, by the way, but we don't have ours. I mean, going to the Supreme Court seems to me an astonishing thing to do. I mean, the previous civil war that the United States had, the one in the 1860s, was largely because of a decision of the Supreme Court, Dred Scott and all that. I mean, surely you would not want to involve the Supreme Court and get decisions from the Supreme Court if you really wanted to find a way out of this problem in a civil and peaceful way. So I come back. Why did they go to the Supreme Court? Is it because they wanted a crisis?
Can't read his mind to answer that question, Alexander, but I would say that that decision by the Supreme Court has drastically reduced the perception of the authority of SCOTUS, because its only job is to interpret and, in essence, set up a framework for the enforcement of the Constitution. There is no better example than Article 4, Section 4, which specifically states that the states have to be protected against invasion. So when the Supreme Court violates that so blatantly, so directly, even though I know it's a temporary decision, that's not a permanent decision, but it still shows the rest of the states why they may need to be on the path of thinking about creating their own new elections, their own president, their own Supreme Court, and breaking apart. And again, I don't wish for that, okay? America is weaker if it's broken apart. And I think what Michael said is accurate. I think that's part of the plan, is to cause America to break up, the balkanization of the United States. We might end up living in the Republic of Texas, which would probably be an economic, you know, golden age miracle, by the way, because Texas has everything. But I don't want to see the nation broken up either.
How solid is the feeling in Texas? I mean, how much support is there for tough action on the border? I mean, how do people feel about the Supreme Court decision? How do people feel about the behavior of the administration about the border?
Well, I mean, 19 out of 20 people don't know the Supreme Court is even in existence, but
or that Mayorkas was just in impeachment hearings and is still there.
I mean, people aren't tracking what's going on.
Most people don't.
But specifically in Texas, how do people feel about this whole situation? I mean, they must be aware of these huge migrant flows, the fact that there's all these people on the border. I mean, are they supporting opposition to this?
Absolutely. Attempt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Day-to-day people, they're aware of the influx, and they're aware of the rising crime, and they want it to stop. But, you know, it's very few people, you know, where you are and where we are, who are actually paying attention to the details of what's going on behind the scenes. And the warning signs are very alarming right now of how this could escalate. You know, Biden needs to back down from this invasion. I mean, Mayorkas, how could our Congress not impeach Mayorkas the other day?
He won't. Our government is captured.
Our government has been captured, exactly. But this is the realization in Texas and across the union, is that our government is at war with us. And we the American people, we are the underclass now. And same thing is kind of true, you know, where you are, Alexander. The British are the underclass now. And the precious ones that get all the benefits and all the accoutrements, those are the new illegals that sweep in and take over your cities and your educational institutions and your government. That's what's happening in America.
If we split, who gets the Navy? Who gets the Air Force and the nuclear weapons? I mean, this is... there's a devil in the details, as they would say in Poland, right?
Well, yeah.
And those are pretty big devils and pretty big details.
Yeah, but I don't want most of the woke Navy anyway. But Texas has its own massive military force.
The reason Texas became, joined the United States was the border, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't defend its border.
Yeah. So... it's going to get interesting, guys. That's for sure.
It's going to get very interesting. So we've had the vote today from the Senate. I mean, the Senate is happy to vote for $60 billion for Ukraine, it seems. At least 67 to 32 voted for it today. At least it's a procedural vote. There might be lots of trade-offs. We don't know what Congress will do. But the administration is keen on spending $60 billion on the war in Ukraine, which is being lost. But they're not prepared to spend money protecting the border of the United States. On the contrary, they're funding the undermining of the border. And Congress doesn't seem to be doing very much either.
Well, I would say that bill is going to meet a lot more resistance in the House. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So it may not pass, or it may pass in a lesser form. But you're right. You make a really important point. Why is it that the United States government, the Congress, is willing to spend taxpayer money to defend every other country's border around the world, but not our own? That's a huge problem. And you're right. The Ukraine war is lost. And of course, there's rising discontent in America about the funding and providing of weapons to Israel for the ongoing, you know, assault on civilians in Gaza, which has its own humanitarian and even genocidal concerns that have been heard by the ICJ. So why is America willing to destroy the value of our own currency, keep printing money, spending money on other countries' security, basically funding the entire Ukrainian government at this point, including all the pensions and all the salaries of all the Ukrainian government employees? But in America, we have homeless black veterans on the streets while the illegals get $1,000 a month in free credits in New York City. I mean, it's infuriating, frankly, to be here and watch this happening.
I mean, $60 billion could presumably secure the border.
Absolutely.
Actually, the best way to secure the border is to stop funding everybody who's invading it,
absolutely.
The United Nations, true. Right? Because we are the ones invading our country, right? We're the ones doing it.
I mean, the border wall estimates were around $20 billion just for a large completed wall. Yeah, but you make a point, Michael. Stop the incentives, and a lot of people
stop
coming.
We're feeding the ducks. We're throwing corn on the ground. You know, I want some of that wall between up in Belfast between the Protestants and Catholics. That's some wall. That's better than the Trump wall. You've been to that wall? That's unbelievable. I mean, there's still
stuff. I've not seen that wall. No,
I have.
I went to that wall about a year ago when I was. I knew this was going to kick off in Ireland, so I went over there. And anyway,
wow.
This is global. It's even happening in Japan, right? A lot of Americans don't believe that Japanese would let people in, but I assure you they are. And I work with Japanese 7 days a week, and it is coming.
Wow.
Gentlemen, you've been very, very patient in answering my questions, and I really thank you. I'm now going to hand over to Alex, because I think we might have some questions from the viewers. Would you be able to?
Of course. We're here as long as you need us.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to a couple of questions from the viewers, comments and questions. Christos says, I pray for Americans to wake up and peacefully take back their country. Elena Diaz says, immigrants doing to USA what Israel is doing to Palestine. I thought the USA is for those policies. Interesting comment there. Mama Alaska says, Alaskan communities are taken over by cartels.
Well, there are cartels taking over many, many communities, even in Texas, in southern Texas. I mean, the cartel influence is very, very strong.
Can I ask a further question? Because,
sure.
I mean, one of the things that we've been hearing a lot about about El Salvador, for example, is that there's been a dramatic fall in the crime rate there, that the situation has been sorted. This is partly because a lot of those people who were carrying out the crime in El Salvador, it's not the president rounding them up and putting them in prison, but these people getting on the buses and going to the United States. Just asking.
I was just down in El Salvador.
Very well may be the case.
I was just down in El Salvador.
Abbott's sending them to Denver, and I could carry out the criminal actions in Denver now.
Oh, yeah. I would recommend El Salvador for a vacation now, actually. I was just down there for a couple of weeks looking at the flows and actually the Chinese information war. They just built a giant library there, 7 floors. There's a Chinese Communist Party flag flying in downtown San Salvador in front of this giant I was in the library the whole afternoon, actually. It's a brainwashing station.
But that's an interesting theory, though, that, you know, a lot of these Central and South American countries are taking their worst criminal elements and just pushing.
Oh, for sure. Venezuela is straight up.
Yeah.
Like when I'm down in Darien Gap, you'll see them tattoos that you've seen, you know, some of the videos I've sent you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, AK-47 next to the eye, that sort of thing. True gangsters. And there's those. And then there's a tremendous amount of Hezbollah, for instance, in Venezuela specifically. Interestingly, there's a place in Lebanon, there's a town there where the main language is Spanish. A lot of people don't realize this. There's a lot of what I call meta structures that I see around the world which is like, for instance, I was just out with some Mennonites over in Belize. You know,
that's right.
And so there's Mennonites everywhere. There's Amish everywhere.
Why don't they send us more Mennonites? We love the Mennonites.
I'll take some more Mennonites.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
I couldn't believe the incredible quality of their ice cream.
Yeah, the fantastic. Mennonites know how to get things done.
Oh man, they had good beef and everything.
But
you see that these. But interestingly, there's a lot of Hezbollah in Venezuela, and HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, is a major funder of bringing in Hezbollah into the. You can't make up this stuff, right? And they're very clear about it. Iranians can fly to Venezuela today, and they are. And getting brand new passports, and they come through the Darien Gap, right? And also, of course, the very close relationship with Russia and China, of course. And there's a war probably will kick off soon with Guyana, by the way.
Well, and can I raise a? I want to be respectful of your time, so let us know. I know it's probably late night there, but one of the concerns in America is that a lot of these people that are coming from, let's say, Iran or maybe Hezbollah coming in, who are utterly incensed about America's support for Israel's actions in Gaza, that some of those people, and I'm not trying to disparage all, you know, people of Lebanese descent or Iranian descent. I mean, most people are peaceful everywhere around the world, but there may be a few people that it's a tipping point for them and that they could activate in the United States and begin to want to carry out, you know, horrendous acts maybe of sabotage or mass killings as revenge against what America is doing with Israel against the people of Palestine. I mean, that's not out of the bounds of what could happen. That's a very real concern.
Well, it's happened in Europe. I mean, it's happened
absolutely
in Britain. Yeah. Shall we go back to Alex? Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's get some more questions. Pierce okay. Taylor, thank you for that super chat. Mama Alaska says, Senator Durbin and Duckworth bill for illegal aliens serve in the military and police is extremely concerning because they aren't constrained by the U.S. Constitution and could be turned upon U.S. citizens. Is my concern valid?
Yes. Yes. And also, those illegals that are being recruited into the military, which is happening right now, and they're being offered citizenship as a reward after a certain number of years of service, they don't have anything at stake in America. They would be more willing to turn against the American people because it's not their families, it's not their communities. They didn't grow up here, so that is a very treacherous development. I believe
clear and obvious future death squads. I mean, yeah. In the paradigm that I always work on developing a paradigm that's predictive and leaves me not surprised. That's why I spent so much time. We were talking about Nord Stream before it bubbled, talking about Groningen before it got shut, and talking about death squads before they're unleashed. It's coming. I mean, again, war is my business, and business, unfortunately, is good. And this is clear. What's happening here has happened in many other countries through space and time, and it's unfolding again.
All right. From CIA torture camp, if there would be a civil war, who are the opposing factions, and which one would control the NSA domestic spying machine?
Well, the NSA would be controlled by the Biden regime, the Bidens, the Obamas. Yeah, clearly. It would be Texas and the other states, if this were to happen. I hope it doesn't, but it would be Texas and the other states declaring their independence, probably borrowing language from the Declaration of Independence, actually, long train of abuses and so on. And then they would have to form their own new government and assert that government against a federal government that would no doubt unleash the military to try to prevent that from happening. Again, let's pray that doesn't happen, but that's where things are headed.
It's clear, by the way, not a single one of our flag officers, generals and admirals who are currently in uniform, have stood up on the border. Not a single one.
Right. They're all in on the invasion.
Lady Morale says, we Texans very much are aware of what's going on. This is horrible. What's happening with the border? Christos says they want us to accept police robo dogs to fight crime. Police and FBI agents have kids that will grow up and someday go to a protest, then get shot by a robo dog. How sad and ironic at the same time.
Well, it's only a matter of time. I mean, I'm actually working on an AI large language model project right now. I'm doing a lot of tech study in the realm of AI. It's very clear to me that as soon as they have more capable AI behavioral models, which are called large behavioral models, they will install those into the first robotic dogs and then humanoid robotic systems. And those will be first purchased for military use and also security use, because they'll be quite expensive at first. But you will have humanoid robots all over society within 10 years. And then, of course, like Amazon will use them to replace the workers in the fulfillment centers. Mm-hmm. They'll be replacing workers in hospital and healthcare settings. But security will be one of their key functions. And what concerns me is that they will be given the power to carry and deploy weapons and to make decisions about whom to use them against. So, yeah, the Terminator apocalypse is actually going to happen. Hmm.
Salila, thank you for that super sticker. Patty Patsy, thank you for that super chat. Sushin, thank you for that super chat. John Roberts says, I was born in Chicago and I live in Oregon. My father's great-grandfather was in U.S. Grant's Army in the Civil War. If Texas secedes, I would fully support Texas. Biden border policy is anti-American.
If Texas secedes, there'd be a lot of Americans that move to Texas. Mm-hmm. And if Texas were to survive the secession, it would be an economically abundant new nation. Again, I'm not hoping for this, just to be clear. I don't want to see the United States broken apart. I'd rather see Trump get in and keep it together and enforce the border and let's remain America. But if that doesn't happen, you definitely want to be in Texas because, I mean, Texas has everything. It's got tech, food, it's got ports, it's got energy, it's got guns. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, maybe a gold-backed currency on top of that. You know, Texas is going to be the place to be.
That's also why I moved to Texas, not for safety. This is clearly a future battleground, like Kinetic. It's yes. obvious.
You want to be right there on the front lines of it, huh?
I mean, I'd be in
Alaska. You are a war correspondent.
I'd be down in the jungles of Guyana or someplace if I wanted to avoid all this.
Ralph says, Mike, Texas, we are all immigrants in the United States except the Native Americans.
Yeah, well, we're not anti-immigrant. We've been very clear about that. We welcome immigrants who want to contribute to America and want to come in legally. And like I said, I'm married to an immigrant, and my ancestors are Native American, by the way. So you don't have to lecture me on that, whoever that commenter is. We get it.
And one more final super chat comment from Brulaham. Mike Yon seems like a good chat if you have a night at the bar. Half bottom, need to know, back and forth conversation with people hosting you.
A good chat. At a bar.
Night at the bar.
People want to hang out with you, Michael. That's
unfortunately,
what
I don't drink.
People hosting you. You don't drink.
You don't drink either.
All right.
Unfortunately, I don't drink. All I do is study war.
Yes. I think it's a lot more interesting than just having a chat at a bar, actually. I would like to have you around and talk about many things, Mike, because I'm sure you can tell me lots of things about what have been going on in the world. There's one last question I would like to put, actually, because we've talked about a crisis in the United States. And somebody just mentioned the fact that their ancestor served in Ulysses Grant's army. What I know of the US military, which isn't particularly extensive, but it has struck me that a lot of people who serve in the military in the United States today, I'm talking about the rank and file, are people who come from the South. Southerners seem to be very, very heavily represented in the U.S. military. So, I mean, would there be a conflict of loyalties if we were to start to get the kind of crisis that you were speaking of?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is like we just mentioned.
Especially Scott-Irish type, which is exactly my culture, actually.
But there's been an effort to try to purge the Americans out of the military.
Right.
Or the American spirit out of the military.
Yeah.
But even we saw Border Patrol employees would not, you know, remove the wire. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people saying no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, isn't there at least a possibility that the United States government might find, if it starts to take enforcement action, that the spear that it uses breaks in its hand? In the sense that already we're hearing that people in Texas, you've talked about the people who are, you know, on the border, whose job it is to control the border, they are not happy about implementing these policies.
Well, this is what comes down to information warfare, like Michael said. That's the highest form of warfare. And part of information warfare is always playing the victim. And you've seen this with what NATO has done with Ukraine. Is how they've always played the victim, and it's Russia's war of aggression. So they're going to use the same framework to try to blame Texas and blame Trump supporters and blame gun owners. I don't know how that's going to look. Maybe some false flag operation or something staged. Who knows? But information warfare is what's going to drive this. And you know that the Biden administration will always claim to be the victim. Even somehow they're the victims of the Palestinians. You know what I mean? Like somehow they put that framework out there. And while they're continuing to drop 2,000-pound bombs on hospitals, it's like, but we're the victims. You know, it's insane.
Mm. Well, I finished. Alex, anyone anymore?
One sec. I think I got one more. Stand up against tyranny now, when if not now. And from California, do they work at all with Chuck Holton, who has been doing independent reporting on the border, including the Darien Gap? Duran, please consider having Chuck as a guest.
Do you know Chuck?
Also covers Israel and Palestine.
I just was talking with him two or three hours ago. Well, I mean, I've been to probably 20 countries with Chuck, including many times in Darien. He was just up here in Dripping Springs last week in Texas. We were together, actually.
Well, we got to get Chuck in the studio then.
I can introduce you as soon as we get offline.
All right, let's do that. All right, so we'll get Chuck on the show.
He's back in Panama right now.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. And we'll try to get Chuck on the Duran as well. What is the impact of Canada's immigration on illegal immigration in the U.S.? There's 1.5 million legal immigrants to Canada yearly, 40 million population, highest in the world. IIRC.
Well, we're not, I mean, I'm not worried about Canadians. We love the Canadians. It's other nations' immigrants moving through Canada that are our concern.
Right.
But yeah, we get along great with Canadians, and the Canadians. Yeah.
And I would like to invade Canada to take their maple syrup. They have maple syrup reserves, which are very valuable, and I like that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
they have an actual maple syrup reserve.
I know.
It's pretty epic.
There's a lot of great stuff. But the Canadians love Texas too, by the way.
Fishing lake.
They love our attitude here because they secretly wish they could be more Texan.
Yeah,
but they can't because of Justin Castro Trudeau, you know?
That's right. Canada is America's hat.
Christoph says, don't want to see history to repeat. Stop now. All right, gentlemen, we are on the hour mark.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
And Mike.
Thank you very, very much, gentlemen. That has been incredible.
Thank you very much, guys. Mike and Michael's information in the description box down below. I will also add that information as a pinned comment as well when the video concludes. Alexander, Mike, Michael, to all our moderators and to everyone that was watching us on this live stream, thank you very much, gentlemen. Take care.
All right. Thank you both.
Such a great honor after wonderful watching time. Your show so much.
Love your shows. Keep up the great
work. Have you guys. Great thank to you. Have you guys on. Thank you. Take
all right,
care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that interview with the Duran. And remember, I also then interviewed Michael Yon separately for an extended interview. I think it was about 90 minutes or more. We went into a lot more detail about what's going on, even covering Israel and the Middle East in more detail. That interview with Michael Yon will be airing on Monday's edition of Brighton Broadcast News right here. Now let's cover some other headlines that were breaking in the last 24 hours. Biden is not going to be charged for mishandling classified documents, according to the DOJ. And you know why? You know why? I mean, it's clear that he's guilty of mishandling classified documents, you know, storing them in his garage. Now, again, they raided Mar-a-Lago claiming that Trump mishandled classified documents. And of course, they try to throw him in jail for that. But Biden's not going to be prosecuted because, according to the DOJ, he's an elderly man in cognitive decline. That he's an elderly man with a poor memory. This is actually in the documents put out by the DOJ. I mean, it's incredible that, yeah, they say, I mean, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, even says that Biden, quote, willfully retained and disclosed classified materials. But they're not going to charge him because the jury would find him to be a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And in the document, it even says that Joe Biden did not remember when he was vice president, and he forgot when his term began. He did not remember, even within several years, when his son Beau died. What parent doesn't remember the year that their child died? If you don't remember that, you're senile or you have dementia, which is what Joe has. But think about it. They're claiming that Joe Biden has such incredible
cognition and mastery of what's going on in the world, that he can rule the United States of America, that he can serve as the commander in chief and, you know, the president, but he can't be held accountable for mishandling classified documents because he's elderly and has a poor memory. Well, my goodness, how does he maintain a security clearance? If he can just mishandle classified documents all the time, then how can we trust him with anything, especially our country? I mean, this is incredible. This is declaring that Joe Biden needs to be in a nursing home, not in the Oval Office. And of course, the Babylon Bee had a headline, you know, a fake news headline on this that's perfectly fitting. It said, man ruled too senile to stand trial is still fine to run the country. That's how crazy it has become. Now, moving on to the corrupt U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate has advanced a bill through a procedural step, a bill that would give a lot of money to Ukraine and Israel, but nothing for the U.S. border. Imagine that. So this is worse than the Senate deal that got shot down, I don't know, a few days back, that was going to give $60 billion to Ukraine, I think, and somewhere between $15 and $20 billion to Israel, and a little bit for the border. But it was such a horrible deal because it would have allowed, what, 1.5 million illegals every year to come through the border. So they've stripped any funding for the border out of the bill just to give money now to Ukraine and Israel to protect their borders. And the U.S. Senate voted for it 67 to 32. So this was more than the 60% majority that's needed in the Senate. So it's a $95 billion bill. Now, it hasn't passed a main floor vote on the Senate yet, just to be clear. And I'm doubtful that this would get much traction in the House. I mean, we talked about it with the Duran, as you probably heard, but this is $60 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, and $5 billion for Taiwan now. $5 billion to help deter Chinese aggression against Taiwan. So where do they think all this money is coming from, by the way? They're printing it, and then they're auctioning off this printed debt, essentially. And who's going to keep buying this debt? And by the way, what's happening to the value of your dollars as they keep printing all this money? They're just printing and printing and printing and handing it out to all the other countries while America is being overrun and invaded. There's a war going on. There's an attack against America. And all the U.S. Senate can do is hand out money to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan? What about America, for God's sake? You got to listen to my interview with Michael Young. That's coming out Monday. And you don't want to miss that. Now, the other major news that happened in the last 24 hours is that Tucker Carlson released his interview with Vladimir Putin. And wow, I watched this entire interview. In fact, I'm reposting it on my channel on Brightown.com. I hope Tucker Carlson doesn't mind, but the whole world needs to see this interview. This was one of the most courageous acts of independent journalism in our lifetime. I mean, Tucker Carlson has done what every other mainstream media, quote, journalist refuses to do, which is to go to Russia and ask Putin questions. I mean, we don't even have journalists anymore in mainstream media. We have obedient, I don't know, journo whores is what we have. They just say whatever they're told to say. They don't ask questions. They just report what they're told to report. Well, Tucker Carlson is asking questions. And he asked Vladimir Putin some pretty tough questions in this interview, by the way. Tucker Carlson was doing some diplomacy. He was trying to negotiate the release of this Wall Street Journal reporter, by the way. And Putin kind of shut that down. But Tucker was doing his part, man. You got to give Tucker some major kudos here. But what's amazing about this interview is that the contrast between Vladimir Putin, his cognitive capabilities, his mastery of the history of Russia, and being able to, I mean, he basically gave Tucker Carlson an elaborate history lesson of Russia for the first 15 minutes of the interview. It was really something. I mean, he's quoting like, was it like 988? That's the year. And then something happened in Russia. I mean, whoa. I mean, that's going back a ways. But to contrast Vladimir Putin's cognitive capabilities with that of Joe Biden, I mean, it's like day and night. And I say that on purpose in that order because, you know, Vladimir Putin clearly is a very high IQ, very informed individual who has an incredible grasp of the complex issues, world events, geopolitics, history, trends, culture, military, technology, everything. While Joe Biden is so cognitively retarded or incapacitated that his own DOJ says we can't prosecute him because his memory doesn't work, because he's an old man who can't remember when his own kid died. I mean, the contrast is incredible. Russia is being led by a competent genius. America is being led by a mentally incompetent moron. And Tucker Carlson just showed the world that contrast, whether he intended to or not, he did. Now, I want to play for you just a couple of minutes so you can hear this for yourself. If I can find it, there was a really great section in this about where Putin was talking about the U.S. dollar and economic sanctions. Let me see if I can find that and play it for you.
Well, let's just give one example, the U.S. dollar, which has kind of united the world in a lot of ways, maybe not to your advantage, but certainly to ours. Is that going away as the reserve currency, the universally accepted currency? How have sanctions, do you think, changed the dollar's place in the world?
You know, to use the dollar as a tool of foreign policy struggle is one of the biggest strategic mistakes made by the U.S. political leadership. The dollar is the cornerstone of the United States power. I think everyone understands very well that no matter how many dollars are printed, they are quickly dispersed all over the world. Inflation in the United States is minimal. It's about 3 or 3.4%, which is, I think, totally acceptable for the U.S. But they won't stop printing. What does the debt of $33 trillion tell us about? It is about the emission. Nevertheless, it is the main weapon used by the United States to preserve its power across the world. As soon as the political leadership decided to use the U.S. dollar as a tool of political struggle, a blow was dealt to this American power. I would not like to use any strong language, but it is a stupid thing to do and a grave mistake. Look at what is going on in the world. Even the United States allies are now downsizing their dollar reserves. Seeing this, everyone starts looking for ways to protect themselves. But the fact that the United States applies restrictive measures to certain countries, such as placing restrictions on transactions, freezing assets, etc., causes grave concern and sends a signal to the whole world. What did we have here? Until 2022, about 80% of Russian foreign trade transactions were made in US dollars and euros. US dollars accounted for approximately 50% of our transactions with third countries, while currently it is down to 13%. It wasn't us who banned the use of the US dollar. We had no such intention. It was decision of the United States to restrict our transactions in US dollars. I think it is complete foolishness from the point of view of the interests of the United States itself and its taxpayers, as it damages the US economy, undermines the power of the United States across the world.
All right. I mean, you get the flavor of that, but you can see that Vladimir Putin has command of the concept of de-dollarization. He's able to cite his own country's figures of how Russia's settlement of trade with China and other countries has shifted dramatically away from the dollar because the West weaponized the dollar and weaponized the SWIFT system. And you saw there that Putin was saying he didn't want to use profanity, but the West doing that is stupid. I mean, what Putin probably really wanted to say is it's effing bleeping stupid because the West is committing its own financial suicide as the world is moving away from the dollar. Now, can you imagine Joe Biden even attempting to have a conversation about global currencies, de-dollarization, international settlement in other currencies? I mean, not a clue. You know, Joe Biden would be like, where's my diapers? You know, it's embarrassing. Joe Biden is an embarrassment. And that's probably why, by the way, so many Democrats and also some European leaders, they denounced Tucker Carlson for daring to interview Vladimir Putin. In fact, some Democrats are trying to claim that Tucker Carlson should be arrested and charged under the Espionage Act for carrying out espionage, yeah, against the United States by simply asking questions of a world leader. I mean, think about that. But they're so desperate to stop this because this shows the contrast between Putin and Biden. Putin has command of what's happening in the world. Biden is an incompetent Alzheimer's patient, you know, or a demented, forgetful elderly person who belongs in a nursing home. You know, seriously, that's what we're looking at here. So if you want to watch this full interview, what is it? I guess it is about 2 hours. Wow, I didn't realize it was that long. It's about 2 hours in length almost, and I've reposted, like I said, on Brighttown.com. It's also on TuckerCarlson.com, which I encourage you to support Tucker Carlson in this. And, of course, it's on X as well. At Tucker Carlson is the account on X where you can see it. But bottom line is everybody should watch this. I got an education about Russia just watching this and listening to Putin. An education of... I mean, Putin talks about the whole backstory of what happened in Ukraine. He talks about the coup in 2014. He talks about the Banderas and the whole situation that led to the special military operation. I mean, no wonder the West doesn't want anybody to hear this interview, because what Putin lays out completely contradicts the lies and propaganda of Western media that we've all been subjected to since, you know, February 22nd of 2022, right? Which was the day that, you know, the quote special military operation began. So watch this interview. I understand it's 2 hours long. The first few minutes are some pretty boring Russian history that will probably blow right past you. It kind of did me. I'm like, what? Like, I don't need to remember all of this stuff. But it's a very informative interview. Tucker did a great job. And he asked Putin some pretty tough questions, too. A little bit of pushback. Like, what do you mean by denazification? You know, what are you talking about? So good job, Tucker. And Putin just shows the American people how cognitively impaired our own president is. And it's shameful. Well, of course, I should say our own fake president, the occupier in chief. All right. Anyway, by the way, if you want to try something really extraordinary, check out our new organic banana peanut butter and chocolate instant superfood shake. People are raving about this. We've got it now available, healthrangerstore.com. You can help support our channel. And you will enjoy this and enjoy the ingredients. Now, let me just read the ingredients. It's so amazing. Whey protein powder, of course, all organic and all lab tested. Organic banana powder, organic peanut butter powder, organic cocoa powder, and organic coconut sugar, which is a low glycemic sweetener from coconuts. And that's it. That's it. The ingredients are so clean and so pure, and people absolutely love this. It is so delicious. I mean, really, just take a couple of scoops, put it in a glass of water, or you could put it in a glass of like your favorite milk, like almond milk or oat milk, or just
cow's milk or whatever cashew milk, whatever milk you have, you know, coconut milk. I mean, this is super delicious. You're going to love it. And check out, we've got organic butter powder back in stock at healthrangerstore.com. And the purple barley I mentioned the other day also. And I have a little correction on that. I was thinking of the song of the purple people eater. And I apparently had remembered it wrong. I had thought it was like a one-armed, one-eyed, flying purple people eater. And I was corrected. Thank you to the listeners who corrected me. It wasn't a one-armed purple people eater. And I don't know where I got one-armed. I'm not trying, you know, I'm not attacking disabled people or anything, or amputees. That's not my intention. That's the way I thought the song went. It turns out it's actually one-eyed, one-horned flying purple people eater, not one-armed. Okay. But you can understand, like, in a song, one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people, like, the horned sounds kind of like armed. So that's why I misremembered that. Suffering from a little bit of a Joe Biden syndrome right there, trying to remember a song from the 1970s. I think the last time I heard that was when I was a young kid in the 1970s, and I got one of the words wrong. So apologize for that. But then again, Joe Biden doesn't even remember when his own son died. That's just sad. Anyway, we have really great products at healthrangerstore.com, and we appreciate your support. Now, let me tell you what's coming up. It's Friday, so hope you enjoy the weekend. I do plan to publish a special interview this weekend. I don't know if that's going to go up tomorrow or Sunday, but it will probably be one of those 2 days, and so stay tuned for that. It's going to be controversial for sure. I have to actually have a special disclaimer for that interview. You'll see what I mean when it gets posted. Monday, we're going to have, of course, the full interview with Michael Yon, the extended in-studio interview. And it's especially funny because my dog, Rhodey, he gets all antsy and he wants to play with Michael Yon. So we end up taking him outside the studio and throwing the rings with him. And Michael Yon's freaking out. He's like, whoa, he just caught, you know, like a 50-yard pass, because I throw these rings really far and Rhodey catches them. Even when he's already got one ring in his mouth, he can catch another one, you know, and it blows people's minds. Anyway, we worked Rhodey really hard. That's my dog, my Belgian Malinois. And we brought him back in the studio. He's huffing and puffing for like 10 minutes. I'm like, man, we got to get this dog some water. So I start pouring some water for him in this water bowl on the broadcast desk. And Rhodey like leaps up and just like splashes water all over Michael Yon and myself, just makes a total mess of the broadcast desk to try to get some water. Oh, he was thirsty. It's understandable. We had fun. So you'll get to see that. We were having a blast, actually, and it was no big deal. We cleaned it up. You know, Michael Yon doesn't mind that kind of stuff because he's like stomping through the jungles half the time. He's been all over the world. He's not afraid of, you know, a little bit of dog water or whatever. And neither am I. You know, I'm a dog person. I'm an outdoor person. I'm a farmhand type of person. That doesn't bother me. Anyway, we had fun. You'll get to see that on Monday, featuring Rhodey the water splasher. In the meantime, have a great weekend. We really appreciate your support. We couldn't do it without you. We've got a lot of great things coming up here this year. And you keep us going, we're going to keep giving back to you in some pretty profound ways this year, including our language model project and much more. So thank you for all your support. God bless you all. God bless America. And feel free to share this, you know, share the interview on the Duran. That's even on YouTube, unless they've banned it. It's also on Rumble. So if you just search for the Duran on YouTube or Rumble, you can find this video, the one I played for you. And you can share that on X and other platforms. Like, spread the word. It's a really great interview, I think. I mean, the Duran guys loved it as well. We've also had some good feedback already because it was a live broadcast. So I've already heard from some people. So go ahead and share that far and wide. And I will talk to you again soon. Take care. Today's segment is brought to you by Goldbacks, which is what I'm holding in my hands right here. This is a stack of Goldbacks, and these contain actual verified physical gold in every one of the Goldbacks. These are labeled ones, and they contain 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold. It's actually built into
the note itself. You can find more information about this at my website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, which is our affiliate site. We do earn a small percentage on your purchases here that helps support the program. This shows my laboratory testing results where I tested using a kiln method and an ICP-MS mass spec method and also an acid stone method. I tested the gold mass, there it is on an analytical balance, and the gold purity for each of the different bills that are available here, the denominations. Now, goldbacks are available in 1s, 5s, 10s, 25s, and 50s. And what's amazing about them is that they make gold spendable and highly divisible. You know, normally you can't take a gold coin and just hand somebody 1/1000th of a coin. That's almost impossible to carry out. But with goldbacks here, I can do that. This is 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in my hands, verified. I know the gold is actually in here. You can melt it down and get the gold. And so I can give this to somebody as a gift or as payment or in exchange, and it makes gold spendable. And unlike crypto, it doesn't require the power grid to function, doesn't require the internet to function. This is off-grid money. It's outside the banking system, and it doesn't require electricity to function. This is a stack of 100 of the Goldback ones, and you can buy these stacks at verifiedgoldbacks.com. Let me show you actually the recovery percentages here. If you scroll down, oh, there's some of the gold foil that you get when you melt a 50. That's what it looks like in my hand there. This is one of the kilns that we use. And continuing, here's the recoveries right here. We recovered 102% on the minimum and about 107% maximum from these goldback bills. So in every case, we recovered more than 100%. And that's what these masses are here. Phase two, this is the final mass. And it shows you how that's more than what was expected. So you're actually getting all the gold that's promised and a little bit more. And here's the purity numbers. We found very small parts per million traces of magnesium, iron, copper, zinc, silver, and lead, which shows that this is over 24 karat gold. And by the way, this is always very common in gold. You're going to get some impurities, and that's why it's called 24 karat and not 100% pure gold. Anyway, we did acid stone test results and so on. You can check out all of this at verifiedgoldbacks.com. Get these into your hands. They're gorgeous to look at. People absolutely love them. They love them as gifts. And again, it's instantly spendable assets with real physical gold in them, which means you don't have to have, you know, faith and trust in a government for these to hold value. No government issues these. No government even recognizes them as currency. No, they're gold, which transcends every government and has outlasted every government in the history of the world. Gold will be here when the dollar collapses. Gold will be here when the yen collapses, when the euro collapses, when the United States of America as a government collapses. Gold will still be here, and gold will still hold value. So do your own research. Don't take this as financial advice, of course. I'm not your financial advisor, but I'm adding these to my own preparedness activities because I recognize the practical utility of these. And in my experience, everybody that I've handed them to has instantly recognized their value. And frankly, they want more of them. So check it out, verifiedgoldbacks.com. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.